that's really how people see us. They see us as radicals. They see us as extremists. You're extreme. You know, it's religion's okay, but that what you do is very radical. And when we think about that, you know, it's radical because it affects our life. Because the one thing that it seems in our world that the world is driven by is here money, because money buys life. At least that's how they see it. They think it money buys, you know, happiness, and money buys this and money buys that. And so when we think of this Christian life that you and I have, we realize that we are radical about it in comparison to the rest of the world. And so I want to preach on the subject this morning, this area of radical giving. Because we think about giving, you know, we hear about people who give, you know, like, for example, if I can get this to work. Okay, it's not working, Andrew. There we go. Radical giving. How many of you know Bill Gates is? You know, Bill Gates? Bill Gates' net worth is $66 billion. Now, that's an incredible amount of money. $66 billion. But according to the Forbes magazine, last year, Bill Gates gave $28 billion to charity. So, you know, you look at it and you say, man, that's a lot to give. And it is. But is that what we would call generosity? Is that what it's about? So we have others. We have Warren Buffett. Maybe some of you might know something about, you've read Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett is worth $46 billion. That's with a B. $46 billion. I don't know how anybody could have that much money, but him being worth $46 billion, he gave away $17.25 billion last year. And then you have George Soros. Maybe some of you know who he is, the former owner of the LA Clippers and all of that kind of stuff. And his worth is $19 billion. And so he gave away, according to Forbes magazine, he gave away $8.5 billion. And then we have Carlos Slim Helou. He's worth $69 billion, and he's really generous. He gave away $4 billion. But is that really generosity? I mean, when you talk about radical giving, is that what it's about? I mean, when we as Christians, when we as believers, when we look into the Scriptures, what is it that God is talking about? Sometimes you see on the news that you know, there'll be people that say, you know, they gave this much money, and so they'll be on the news, and they want everybody to know how much money they got and how much money they gave away. And everybody's kind of like, wow, that's something else. But actually, that's not what radical giving is. It's much different than what you think it is. I like what Warren Wiersbe said, because he said it really well. He said this. He said, giving is not something we do. It is something we are. Have you ever thought of it this way? That you know, in a selfish world, a world that is driven for themselves and how to advance themselves and how to make themselves more comfortable, to have more things, and to have a higher status in our world, it's all about self. But then when you talk about Christian life, the Christian life is not about self. It's living for something else and for someone else. So the Christian life is not about me, you know, advancing myself, make myself look better, get more. It's my life is giving. That's what I'm to do. That's how it works. Because if life was about self, it certainly wouldn't be about giving. It's what God says that we are. Now, our example is not Bill Gates, who, though he was worth $66 billion, gave $28 billion away. I mean, that's a phenomenal amount. Really, if you look at it, that's like one-third of what his worth is. He gave it away. But what we don't realize is when you look at it from that viewpoint, and you look at this example, there's a lot of tax shelters involved. There's a lot of other things involved. And so giving it away is a way to actually hang on to more. Okay? But for a Christian, we're not about living for this world. Our example is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it says this about him. It says that, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty ye might be rich." John chapter 10 says, Mark chapter 10 says this, "For the Son of Man came not to be ministered, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." So the example then for the believer is not multi-billionaires giving away fractions of their income. Our example is the Lord Jesus Christ. When we look at him, we understand more about what the Christian life is than in any other place possible in Scripture. And the impact of Christ's radical giving is extraordinary. I mean, think about it. He didn't just give some. He gave all. He gave his life. His life left an impact on this world, not only for now, but for all eternity. I mean, that is a very, very powerful statement when you consider all that Jesus did. Now, here's something else that's really strange. As I'm preaching on this subject, I'm talking about giving. It is so strange. As you preach on anytime a pastor preaches on giving, everyone becomes real, real resistant to it. You have kind of like, wait a minute, hold on. We kind of put on the brakes. But the fact is that radical giving and giving our life is what the Christian life is all about. Let me ask you a question. Let's suppose that you had a deal. You went to the bank, and here's what the bank said. Any amount of money you spend, we will put it back into your account. How many of you would like to find a bank like that? Wouldn't you like a bank like that? Okay. Anything that you spend, we'll just put it back in your bank account. So you decide that you want to take a cruise in a month or so, and you find the nicest cruise you could possibly find, and you slide the card, and it goes through. And the bank puts it back into your account. Or you find maybe you need a vehicle, and that vehicle is like, you know, just the kind of car you've always dreamed about, and you go down and you say, "I want that car," and you slide the card, and it goes through. And then you've already tested the waters, and you said, "Wow, this really does work. I like this. This is a great bank." Then you go down and you decide, "You know what, I'm going to buy me a really big, nice home because, you know, after all, my house is kind of like, you know, a little bit small and tight. Affordable, but it's a little small and tight. And so I'm just going to go down and I'm going to slide the card and see if it works on the house." And sure enough, it works on the house as well. And when you get done at the end of the transaction, the end of the day perhaps, you have the deed to the house. It's yours. You say, "Wow, that's pretty amazing. That no matter what I give or whatever I spend, whatever goes out of my bank account automatically comes back in to my bank account." Let me ask you this. If that was the way that your life would be, would that change your view on money? Would that change your view on giving? You see, God not only does so, by giving us everything that we need to give, do you realize that he gives us the ample ability to, anything he lays on our heart to give, he gives us the ability to be able to take care of that. This is because God is supernaturally working our life in such a way that we are radically different from the world. How am I doing so far? You guys with me? In other words, my life is so much different than everybody else in the world. I'm not about trying to advance me. I want to advance the Lord Jesus Christ. And by living a life in such a way, I understand that God gave everything, and God is going to supply whatever it is that he wants me to give. Then by doing that, then if God lays something on my heart to give, or God asks me to give, or God commands me to give, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to do whatever he asks of me to do. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and join me in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And Paul's writing to a culture and a society that is very much like this post-Christian society we live in today. People had forgotten that God was important in their life. Many of them would be like those who we just heard in the ad on the for the upcoming series, the video, kind of get us ready. They would be like that. They were looking out for themselves. They were trying to advance themselves. And Paul was writing to say to them, hey, look, Christianity is not the same as the world. Christianity is the opposite. That Christianity is radical in that sense. Look, if you would, at verse number 6. And let's read down to verse 15. Because in these verses, if I can get you to do anything else today, when you go away, I want you to go away with the fact that, you know what? God loves me so much that all that he gave me and everything that I have comes from him. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 6. The Bible says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Let me read that verse one more time, because I want you to get the flow of that verse. That verse is about the all-sufficiency that God provides for us. Look what it says. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, and his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything, to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayers for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his unspeakable. Paul's writing, and here's what he's saying. He's saying, you know, when you are a Christian, there's something radical that's happening in your life. That is that before you can become a radical giver, you have something that is radical in your life, and that is the new birth. That is that you are now a believer. Inside, it begins on the inside. Every one of us here in this room, if we know Jesus Christ, this life began. Everything changed the moment we received Jesus Christ. On the inside, you are not the same that you were before, because now the Bible says that you are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. That the moment you received Christ, that God came into your life, that He changed your life, that He works in your life through grace. And that work and that operation of grace, Paul writes about it in Philippians 1:6. He said, being confident that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform until the day of Jesus Christ. So God has now begun a new work inside of you. And so your life is changed. And you are a different person. And you're not like everybody else around you. You're not like the world. You're different because of the work of God in your life. And here we find that when you're transformed by the power of God, something in your life should change from being selfish to being selfless. That you go from trying to live for yourself to live for God. That you want to live for Jesus Christ. I was reading this week something Spurgeon wrote, and it just captured my attention altogether. He said this. I don't know if I'm going to ever get over this one. He said, if you talk to man more than you talk to Jesus, then you've got a problem spiritually. And I was thinking, you know, that's a pretty powerful thought. To think about it, that I probably talk more to my wife or talk more to other people than I do God. And when I do that, that is a problem. That's a problem. Because here's what happens. When I talk more to people and don't talk to God, guess what happens? I go from being the kind of Christian I should be to being shaped by the world like I shouldn't be. I become selfish. But when I look at Him and I see what He's done for me, when I understand the power of God that came in my life, that made a difference, that changed my life, we call that the gospel of Jesus Christ, that our dependence must be on the Lord and not on other people. If you look at verse 7, he speaks of the fact that our dependence is on God. He gives us everything we need. And everything that God gives to us, he says that we're to give it to others. Our time and our talents and our tithe and all that we have. We're just to give it, because this is how the work of God is going to be established in our world today. It's going to be through us. It's us to give. It's if we're going to impact our world, then we understand what Jesus did in the world. And by the way, the world he lived in was no different than the world that you and I live in today. You see, the more that we really understand what Jesus did, the more radically we're willing to give for him. This kind of giving is indescribable, if you would. Notice he says, but thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. What is that gift? Yeah, it's salvation, no doubt about it. But inside, it's the work of God's grace that is radically changing my life. That, no, I'm not like the other, like the world. And you know what? I don't want to be like the world. I want to be like Jesus. And I want to ask you, what kind of work is God doing in your life? Well, we have here in front of us an example of a church that Paul is instructing about this idea of radical giving. And then this idea of radical giving is showing us that as a believer, that I have this responsibility before God, that as I take of my resources, and I need resources to live. Don't get me wrong, we all need that. We need a house, we need food, we need what we have. But God is saying that I recognize that I take care of what my supply is, and then God uses me to be a blessing to someone else. That's also true of my time. Yeah, I need time to work. I need time to take care with my family. And I don't want to neglect either one of those. I need time with God. That's important as well. But I also need time to be able to help and reach other people by giving back. That indeed is what God is saying. And when I look at all that, I'm thinking, wow, this is pretty amazing. Maybe it's, I don't know about you, but when I look at it, man, this life that I have, what a blessing. It is a radically new life that is totally the opposite of what the world's living for. No wonder I feel like a pilgrim and stranger. No wonder I feel different. No wonder people around me look a little strange. Because God has done something in my life. Now, here's how it works. Let's suppose we're kind of picking up on Bill Gates today. I don't know why. It's kind of come up in my studies here in prayer. And let's suppose Bill Gates calls you up one day, or maybe one of his team calls you up and said this. You know what I'm going to do? Here's what I'm going to do. He says, you know, I know something about you, and I want to give you my house. I want you to have it. Now, let's look at his house here, okay? Here's Bill Gates' home. Bill Gates' home is worth $97 million. I mean, this home is an amazing thing. It is 66,000 square feet. It overlooks Lake Washington in Medina, Washington. And let's suppose he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you my house for your house. And you might say, you know, I appreciate the offer, but, you know, the bank owns my house. How many of you, the bank owns most of your house, all right? Okay, I'm with you, all right? So the bank owns, and he says, that's okay. I'll take the debt as well. It doesn't matter to me. And you say, wow. You got 24 hours to decide. $66,000 square foot, $97 million mansion, land on a lake, boat dock, everything you can possibly imagine, it's yours. You have the deed to it. You say, I would have to tell him, let me pray about this, Janet, start packing, all right? You know, I may look dumb, but I'm not, okay? Here's what he says. I call him back. The next day, I say, I'll take it. Here's what he says. Okay. He says, all right, now, here's the only thing I want to mention in this deal. Is I just need a little room or office. That's all I want. You say, what? That's not fair. Yet that's how we do God. That's how we do God. God says, I gave it all to you. Not only did I give you the mansion, and by the way, you think this mansion is something? Wait till you get to heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. Your mansion, my mansion. You know what? Here's what God says. He said, here's what I've done for you. Not only provide a mansion for you, but I've taken your home and your debt on me. For that exchange, all I ask is that you would give me a part of the room that belongs to me. And yet sometimes we cringe to think that God would ask us to give something as little as a small room when it comes to our resources. You see, really, the world is only scratching out a living, but for you and I, we are giving so much by God's grace. Everything we have comes from God. Now, here's what he says in this passage. When I read this passage out, he's telling this church, he says, look, let me help you to understand. Your radical giving is going to do some amazing things. It's going to impact the world like it's never impacted the world before. I want you to understand. Here's what he says. He says in verses 6 through 10, givers are enriched. Do you realize that when we really capture the spirit of this passage, when we capture what it means to give, that our lives become more enriched because now we are connecting with the life of Jesus and how Jesus lived. We're understanding what the real Christian life is. If a person never gives anything in the offering plate, his life is not enriched. He's missing out on all that God intends him to have. If a person never tells anyone about Jesus, he's missing out on what the Christian life is all about. He has really failed to understand what God says. But not only that, but receivers' needs are met. Paul's writing and saying, here is a church that the church of Jerusalem, they're suffering right now, and they need to have they have some needs here, and we're taking up a collection to send down to them. Would you be willing to give? And the first thought came to their mind, where is it going to come from? And Paul writes, God gives you whatever you need, and it is sufficient for you. And then the third, God is praised when we give. We want to praise God. That's one of the most powerful thoughts, that as we give. And you know, God is pleased with that, and God reminds me that this is a part of what I'm supposed to do as a believer. Now, why? Why do I do that? Well, there's some reasons. Let me give them to you. Number one, we give because we've experienced God's grace and salvation. You know the reason why I want to give to God? Because I am so excited of what God gave to me. Amen and amen. You know, it's just the way it is. I'm just excited that God gave me a ministry, that God gave me a job, that God gave me a calling, that God has something for me to do, that God could use me. I mean, I marvel that I could wake up in the morning and God says, okay, you got another day. I want to use you today. Another Sunday, I want to use you. And so for me, it's such a privilege to say, well, you know what? I can give God my time, and I can give God my financial resources. I can give God whatever he asks of me. And if God lays on my heart to give even more beyond that, then God is going to take care, because God says, I'm going to provide everything you need, all sufficiency. And by the way, just like the bank that puts money back into your account, God says, I'm going to do the same thing. Now, that doesn't mean go out here and just buy anything you want. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying this. God is never a debtor to any man. That he will take care of whatever we need. But then there's a second reason. We give because we want to share his goodness with others. That begins to impact a community. That will impact a community more than any other thing. It's when we give, as we give, and we share our resources with others, it will begin to impact. It'll make a difference. It'll revolutionize a selfish world, because they will see that people are living according to how their Savior lived. Life will now take on a whole new meaning. Kind of like this. You know that Bill Gates deal? That happened to me. I got a call like that. No, I'm only kidding. Some of you are like, really? But let's suppose that actually did happen. What would be my response? How many of you would say, deal settled, okay? Because to be honest with you, you wouldn't have to work anymore, right? I mean, man, you know, you go up there, you just go hide out, and no one's going to get on your place. You're just, man, you're all self-sufficient. But you know what else I think you'd probably do? You'd probably post it on Facebook. Moving to Washington. Got me a nice home up there. Pictures to follow. Am I right? Probably write your family and say, new address. Moving to Washington. Let me tell you, it's a brand new address, nice home, everything. I mean, in fact, if you want to call me, text me on my cell phone. I'll see if I can get you in the gate. because he'd be so excited. You see, your life would change, wouldn't it? But you know what the strange thing is? We get more excited about things that are temporal than we can about eternal things. It's a strange thing, but you know, there's a lot of people who are believers, but they never let anyone know about it. I mean, honestly, you know, they're so excited about God on Sunday, but the rest of the week they're so excited about everything else. Something's wrong with that picture. Because, to be honest with you, God gave you something much greater than what Mr. Gates could give you in a house. God gave you something much, much greater. He's giving you a home in heaven. He's given you something that can change your life for all eternity. He became poor. He gave his life so that your life could be enriched. He became poor so that we could be rich. Rich in what? Rich in eternal rewards in heaven with Jesus. Now, buddy, that's better than having a mansion up in Medina, Washington. You can have them all. Stack all the mansions you want anywhere in Beverly Hills or anywhere else in the world. It will never touch what we have in Jesus Christ. We're talking about giving. We're talking about radical giving. We're talking about recognizing what God has done. And for us, it should never be a resistance. It should be a privilege. A privilege. Talk about financial. What about, when's the last time you told someone about Jesus? You say, you know how hard that is? Really? It's not hard for your drinking buddies to tell you about Budweiser. They're going to talk about it tomorrow. You know what? I'd be embarrassed. It's not hard for them to talk about it. Why would it be hard for you to talk about Jesus? You know, the truth of the matter is, when we realize what we have some steps we can decide on. Number one, my next step would be to call upon Jesus Christ as our personal Savior if you've never done that. If you've never called upon the Lord, that's the very first thing we should every one of us do here, is to realize that for Jesus Christ, that we have him, and that he is our Savior, he's our Lord, and we know that when we die, we're going to heaven. That is, that we have him as our personal Savior. But number two, we become a radical giver for Jesus Christ. That we decide that for us, that, you know, if this new life that I have is going to change me, that I also realize that life that he has given to me and the supply that God has given to me is going to take care of everything. But then thirdly, here's something you can do. Give three invitations to You Ask For It series starting next week to somebody you know. It might be that it could be someone from maybe at work, or it could be someone, maybe a family member, or maybe someone at the office, you know, somewhere like that. So here's what I'm going to have. The ushers, if you would, guys, just pass them out to everybody. Everybody will take, we have three invitations put together, paper clip together. Everybody take three. You're bound to find somebody within this next week or 2 weeks to give to this series. You know, it's a strange thing I read several years ago, and I believe there's probably a lot of truth to that, probably more so than even today than it was then, is that every person has potentially 25 people they could reach for Jesus. You could do that. You say, why? Because you're a radical giver. Radical givers say, you know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to give what I can while I'm here, because the truth of the matter is, when we die, that's the only thing that will really last. What I do for him. You know what the world's looking for? They got enough selfish people. They're looking for people who are selfless. And that begins the radical change that comes in my life. And when that happens, then Jesus has so changed my life in such a way that I realize what he can do forever and ever and ever. Let's pray.